Welcome into the show on this Wednesday evening. It is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth in studio tonight for a special edition of Preds Insiders. I said this back in November when we had our next guest who's going to join me for this entire hour. I said this back in November. This show is called Preds Insiders. All right? There is not a bigger insider on the Nashville Predators than the president and CEO of the franchise, the one and only Sean Henry. Sean, how are we doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Just a good day at work, as always. Always a good fun there. And just leaving a YWCA board meeting. And whenever you think you're doing good things, selling hot dogs and playing hockey games, you go to a YWCA board meeting and realize the great work they're doing, and trying to make this as a better community to live in for our women and girls. So great day. Now I join you. How can it be better?
Well, I mean, this has got to be, you know, the worst part of your day, right?
No, you know, hopefully hanging out with you for an hour will let my wife help my daughter with her math homework before I get home.
Well, Sean, we always
get better grades that way.
Well, Sean, we always appreciate you calling into the show, and certainly appreciate you spending the full hour with me tonight. And Sean, I want to start with the hottest name and the hottest player on the hottest team in the National Hockey League. Pekka Rinne right now is getting a ton of attention for the Vezina Trophy, and rightfully so. He absolutely should be the favorite. 21-1-3 in his last 23 starts. He's on a personal 11-game win streak. The win Monday night in Buffalo, another shutout for him, was his 40th win of the season. It's his third career 40-win season. He was fantastic last year in the postseason. We all know what his value is on the ice for the Nashville Predators. What is Pekka Rinne's value off the ice for you guys?
You know, it's kind of like summing up his gameplay. I mean, you just can't do it. What he does for us off the ice is incredible. But I want to touch on the ice a little bit more. You just rolled through something. He just had his third 40th win season, which I know to a lot of people might not even know, is that a lot? Is that not a lot? Only seven goalies in the history of our game have had three 40-game or 40-win seasons. So you think about it, Pekka Rinne is one of seven goalies in the 100-year history of our league that has posted three 40-win seasons. So what he does for us on the ice, obviously it's hard to sum up and talk about it. We've fortunately been able to watch it for 10 years now. But off the ice, far too many people get a chance to see what he does. I mean, the guy puts everything he has into making this a better place to live. What he did with the 365 Fund, what he founded that with Shea Weber, to what he does with Best Buddies, to just how he makes everyone feel when he's around them. We did our team picture today. So it's a combination of, you know, all the players, some of our staff, and then we bring the entire staff out. And he's the first guy up to help, you know, people on the ice and walk them off and crack a joke. And then we signed a young player today, Devin, to a one-day contract and tryout. He got a chance to play with the team. He's in a situation that no child should ever be in or no family should ever be in. But, again, the first guy to fist bump him and smile and, you know, try to defend his shots is, you know, Pekka. And the guy's nonstop. And I can go on and on and on and on about the things he does, but the remarkable things he does. I got an email last week from a family. He forwarded me an email that Pekka sent him at 2:38 a.m. the night he won his 300th game. And Pekka was thanking the father for letting him meet his son and their family. Again, that they're being treated over at Vanderbilt Hospital. This is the way he thinks. He just accomplished something that very few goalies have ever accomplished. And what does he do that night? Is he out partying? Is he celebrating? Is he on media? No. He's sending emails out to people that the 365 Fund touches. He's incredible. If we described him, no one would believe him. He's a fictional character.
That is an incredible story, one that I doubt many people really know about him. And, you know, that's one of the best parts about Pekka is how he's just embraced not only playing with the Nashville Predators, but embraced playing in this city, in Nashville, Tennessee, which wasn't a hockey town when he was drafted, and now it is. And, you know, he embraces living here. He wanted to stay here back in, I believe it was the 2011-2012 season when he signed that 7-year extension. And, Sean, I want to play a clip for you. Back in October, I asked Pecorine what the city of Nashville means to him, and here's how he responded.
So much. It's hard to describe. You know, obviously, you dream to play in the NHL as a kid, and, you know, where I'm from, it's hockey was a big thing back then, and, you know, my goal was to play in the Finnish Pro League, and all of a sudden, here I am, and been here for a long time, and, you know, this city means so much to me. It's my home, and this organization has been my family for a long, long time, so that means a lot to me.
That was Pecorine back in October when I asked him what the city of Nashville has meant to him over his NHL career. Sean, we're talking about a goaltender. Like you said, only seven other goalies in the National Hockey League have three different 40-win seasons in their career. He just won his 300th career game last month, and he has a reaction like that to what it means to playing in the city of Nashville. What's your reaction when you hear that clip from Pekka?
Oh, you get, you know, goosebumps. And, you know, I go back to how you started this. You know, back in 2011, in November of that year, was his birthday. He signed that seven-year extension. He was really the first guy that looked at what David Poile put in front of him. So this is what we can build. You know, we have a new chairman, Tom Seguin. This is what the future could be for us. And do you buy into it? Do you believe it? And he jumped on board. I mean, he signed that contract in November and said, I want to be here. You know, I want to do great things, you know, with this team. I want to win a championship. I want to, you know, have parades coming down Broadway, and I want to keep building on what this could be. And we talk about what he does for us off the ice. What he did for us then was he sent a signal across the NHL that, you know, if not the best, one of the three best goalies at the time, said, this is a special place. It's a special team. This is where I want to be. And you know what? If you have an opportunity to come here, you should too. And it was a changing moment for our organization when he signed that extension. With us. He didn't go to free agency. He could have. He didn't talk to other teams. He could have. He said, this is where I want to be. And the dividends are laid out before all of us right now.
Predators president and CEO Sean Henry with us here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And to your point, Sean, in the salary cap era in sports, it seems no matter the sport, it just seems like it's the growing exception and not the rule for players as good as Pecorine to stay with one team their entire career.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And, you know, people talk about what's the first jersey to be retired. You know, if I were a betting man, I would bet it's going to be number 35 because he is the face of our organization. He's grown here, evolved here, and he has brought some incredible things for us. But I also think the trend that he did with outgoing to free agency, you've seen it time and time again now with some of our younger guys that locked up long-term, you know, from Ryan Ellis to Ekholm to Youngkrock to Yossi to Johansson. I just go on and on and on. Forsberg, he's the first guy to jump on board that, and everyone else has followed suit. So it's it really is exciting, you know, who he is and the fact that he's chosen to stay with us.
I wrote after Pecorine's 300th career NHL win last month that he is a Smashville legend for the fact that he's the Predators' longest tenured player right now. He was in net for all of the franchise's marquee moments, you know, starting back in 2011 when you guys won your first ever playoff series. He's beloved by the fans off the ice. He wrote a touching letter to all of Smashville in the Players' Tribune last summer after the run to the Stanley Cup Final. As an individual, he's so darn likable. And, you know, he's getting up there in age. He's 35 years old. And one thing that I've thought of this season, watching him play as well as he's been playing. I mean, like I said at the beginning of the segment, 21 wins in his last 23 starts. I think it's important for Preds fans out there to relish what they're watching between the pipes with Pecorine, because you never know when his last game may be, whether it's at the end of this contract, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever it is, and to appreciate what he is doing and what he has done for the Predators, you know, between the pipes.
Oh, he's having his best year he's ever had. You know, he's had some pretty incredible years. You know, finalist for the Vezina two other times. Probably should have won it both other times. But we're watching something that's so special. And he was having a great year already before this amazing run, you know, since the 2nd or 3rd of January. And this is the type of thing where it's in the 8th inning and you're watching a guy throwing a perfect game. You just got to sit back, get your popcorn, and really enjoy it. And whenever you have a chance to watch Pekka play, you should do it. I don't care what market you're in. And I think you're starting to see that with our ratings. You know, across the globe, people want to see our team play. And as fun, as exciting as we are up and down our four lines and, you know, all, you know, three pairs on the D side, a lot of people are tuning in to really see what Peck is going to do night after night. And no matter how the team is playing, you know, we're in every game. If we're off to a little bit of a slow start, it doesn't matter. He keeps us in the game. If we come out and we're exploding, you're really going to jump on a team then because you know what he's going to do. And what I always love is when you hear Lobby talk or Cato talk or you know, anyone in the locker room, whether we give up three goals that game or as a shutout, they talk about four or five or six huge saves that Pekka made at the right time. And then you see Saros, when he comes on in, he's playing just like Pekka right now. And that tandem is incredible. And you have to give a lot of credit to you know, Ben, our goalie coach, but I think you have to give a lot of credit to both those guys in how they pick each other up and relate to each other. You know, the role of the backup goalie is as important as the starting goalie in how they interact. And then you look at how much affection Pekka has for Jussi. It's really just a special thing that's going on. And everything we talk about revolves around number 35, as it should.
President and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, is our guest tonight right here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up next, we'll try to put GM David Poile's career in perspective as best as we can. And we're taking you up until 7 o'clock. Smashville Live over at Tin Roof on Broadway. Braden Gall and Hal Gill will be joined by Victor Arvidsson and Matthias Ekholm. Should be a great show, great environment down there, as it always is at Tin Roof on Broadway. So if you're looking for anything to do on this chilly Wednesday evening in Music City, USA, head on down to Tin Roof on Broadway for Smashville Live. Once again, Preds forward Victor Arvidsson and defenseman Matthias Ekholm will join Braden Gall and Hal Gill at Tin Roof on Broadway for Smashville Live. And then at 8 o'clock, it is Penalty Box Radio with the one and only Justin Bradford. But coming up next, we talk some David Poile, and we put his career, both with the Predators and beforehand with Washington Capitals, in perspective right here. I'm Ryan Porth on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. What's up, Fitzy? This is also Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Online at thegamenashville.com. Take us wherever you may go on our 102.5 The Game app. I'm Ryan Porth in the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Games Studios, joined by Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, here on the show tonight. And Sean, last segment, you mentioned how it's tough to put into words what Pekka Rinne means to this franchise, both on and off the ice. I'm sure it's just as hard to say and express just how much GM David Poile has meant. You know, Poile won the GM of the Year last year for the National Hockey League, became the all-time winningest GM in NHL history back on March 1st, getting number 1320, moving past Glenn Sather. And I have a feeling, Sean, that that's a record that no one will break anytime, maybe in our lifetimes.
Yeah, I think what we should do is get the cassette tape out and hit rewind and say the same thing about him.
With the Walkman?
Yeah. I'm going to stammer and stutter, something I don't normally do, trying to describe his career too. But you think about it, 1,320 wins. 90% of the people that have been GMs in the 100-year history of our league, 90% of them weren't GMs for 1,000 games, let alone 1,320 wins. I mean, David is incredible. And even to put more shine on that, the guy's got almost 40 straight years without losing it, you know, without being out of work. That doesn't happen in that profession. You know, you're normally 4 to 10 years in, and then you get a year off because some crazy owner thought it was a good idea to fire you. And, you know, David, when he left Washington, came right here, and people don't realize it, how lucky we are, but he had an opportunity to go to, you know, a couple of really established teams, a team in a much bigger market, or to start his own franchise with the Nashville Predators. And thank goodness he did come here, right?
Well, absolutely. And when you think back to the beginning of his stint in Washington with the Capitals, that franchise wasn't winning much. And then you come.
Oh, they were garbage, absolute garbage. And then he turns them into really a juggernaut through the 80s and the 90s, and some of the most historic games in the playoffs ever played were through them. Their biggest challenge is, you know, they were playing in an era with a couple of dynasties, mm-hmm. you know, coming off the Canadiens, of course, into the Islanders, and the Montreal picks back up, and then, of course, Edmonton. And I think they lost to the Islanders
three of those playoff years when they're on their incredible run. But he built something really special for them that they're still enjoying the benefits of. It really is amazing that he decided to come here and that he stayed here. But that's in his family's genes. You know, his father started two franchises, and two of the most successful expansion franchises at the time with Philadelphia and Vancouver. And you know, David's carried on that legacy, which is just so much fun to see. And selfishly, you know, and egocentrically for me, I have a chance to work with him. It's one of the main reasons I came here. You know, I was offered the job, and I was so excited about working for a group of owners like we have, and Tom Seguin as our chairman, but maybe even more excited to work with David Poile.
Well, why is that? What made just his pedigree, the family pedigree, his pedigree as a GM, what made you want to come here because of David Poile?
You know, David doesn't remember when he first met me, but it was probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, and we were at a league meeting, and I just wanted to go over and say hello to him, shake his hand because of his family's history, if you will, and how dedicated he is to our game. And forget about the Predators for a minute. You know, he loves the game of hockey. He loves the NHL. He loves all the teams. You know, he's one of the leaders of all of our GMs of how to shape the game, how to change the game. He's on the competition committee. He works with the Hall of Fame. The amount of time he gives to making our game better, away from what he does day to day, is extraordinary. And, you know, I heard about it, of course, when I was in Tampa, got to see it a few tangible times and working on a few things in and around each other. And yeah, literally, when you go to a league meeting, I'm going back to 10 or 15 years ago, not so much waiting in line because we're all too cool for that to go shake David's hand or introduce yourself, but you basically wait in line. You know, you circle them a little bit like the Sharks. And now, you know, he and I, you know, we'll go to a breakfast together before the meetings in an open room, standing together at a table, and you see the same people circling just to come over and meet with him and say hello to him, introduce himself. And he's always so gracious with everybody. He is truly the gentleman of our league that, again, cares about our game, I think, more so than anyone I've ever seen in that position. And I'm getting old now, so I've known a few of them.
President and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, on with us here, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Considering all that you just said about David, he's accomplished just about everything that he can as a general manager in the NHL. What would it mean to you to see him get that one last piece of the puzzle if you guys are lucky enough to do that here in June or in the coming years?
Well, again, David is a much better person than I am, if you haven't caught that yet. And as much as I want to win that cup for David Poile, I won't lie to you, I want to win it for Sean Henry first.
I don't blame
now,
you.
The nice benefit of that, though, is it's going to be so much fun if we're fortunate enough to win this year or next year or, you know, whenever it is, or at least compete for it every year and fortunate enough to you know, get it and then chase it again once we do. It's going to be a lot of fun to be around David when he does win that. Because he's dedicated his entire life to our great game, and it's a game I do love too. So I think anyone that loves hockey owes David Poile a debt of gratitude, and it's going to be so much fun to see him win it. And all the guys that we've talked about, you know, from Mike Fisher to Hartnall to, you know, Pekka, you know, guys have been around, you know, the game for a little while, and then really everyone on the team, everyone in the organization, everyone in the city, that we're a different organization than most. You know, we're here because of our fans. You know, they brought the team here, then they saved the team. We're here because of Gary Bettman and Mayor Dean and Mayor Bredesen or Governor Bredesen or ideally Senator Bredesen, you know, coming up. So many people are responsible for us being here and thriving where we are today, but I don't think anyone more so than David Poile. So when we do win that ultimate prize, I can't wait to be there with them, you know, crying around it and, you know, maybe drinking something out of it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be special. And as much as every team wants to win the cup, when we do, it's going to be really special for everybody in our league to celebrate David winning it.
Absolutely. Well, I know in the last few years with all the blockbuster trades that David Poile has made, he has garnered the nickname of Dealin' David Poile. And the two big ones are the ones that happened in the calendar year of 2016. Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones and PK Subban for Shea Weber, two of the biggest trades in National Hockey League history.
No, I got to interrupt you, Ryan.
Okay.
They're the two biggest trades in sports history.
Why?
Period. And I like bringing that up. I want people to challenge me. You know, I love, you know, the bar counter talk about sports. It's very rare where a player is traded for another player in their prime. You know, normally it's an older player that you're taking on right at the trade deadline, and you're getting a bundle of assets back, or the other way around. It's very rare where two young players that are both going to have incredible careers are traded. And obviously we thought we needed something up front in Ryan, and Columbus thought they needed something on the blue line, and they gave up an incredible player, and we did too. That doesn't happen very often in sports. You know, people always talk about what Ted Williams for Joe DiMaggio would have been. The problem there is you had a couple of GMs that were afraid to make the trade, even though it probably would have helped both teams. So you need to have two guys that are fairly confident in what they want to do and how they're going to do it, and you know everything about the guy they're getting, know everything about the guy they're giving up, but also the confidence to make that trade. And for him to do that twice in 6 months is incredible. And again, the only trade I can think of bigger than Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones is obviously PK for Shea. And right now I define people tweet to me right now, what bigger one-for-one player trade has ever been done in sports? And I'm sure there's an example, but I've been saying this now for 2 or 3 years and no one's come up with one. And Dave Apoyle is responsible for both of them. And he's also been responsible for some other really, really big trades in his career.
For sure. How did those two moves, though, specifically, Johansson for Jones and Subban for Weber, how did those two moves change the franchise?
Well, again, you know, as David said, you know, he's been in pursuit of a true number one center, a stud center, since the very first draft year, you know, of this team. And we were fortunate enough to draft David Legwand, and Cavier was drafted right in front of him. But we're always looking for that guy that can match up with anybody. And, you know, he was fortunate enough to bring him in. And look what it did for us. It changes how every other line is played and how we can approach other teams. You know, Ryan's such a versatile player. He can do so many things, you know, from shutting down, you know, the top offensive player to making someone try to shut him down. And when that happens, it takes a little less pressure on some of the other lines. So it really changed how we could play. And then you marry that up with Lavi's style, and it's just been incredible. And, you know, on the blue line, trading Shea for PK gave us an ability to do things a little bit differently. And, again, you know, we gave up, you know, a guy that should have won a Norris trophy for a guy that did win a Norris trophy. And both ideally will be finalists for that, you know, a few more years to come in their careers. When you bring in certain types of player, David does that, working with our scouts, working with our entire coaching staff of trying to figure out what we need to move forward. It's fun to see it come to fruition.
This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5. The Game, Ryan Porth here in studio, joined by phone this evening by President and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry. Coming up next, there will be a franchise milestone achieved later this month that a lot of people thought would never happen. We'll tell you what that was, and we'll discuss it next. I'm Ryan Porth. He's Sean Henry. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back to the show, live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Games Studios. That's right. This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Ryan Porth in studio, joined by phone this evening by the one and only Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators. And Sean, I've done a lot of interviews with you over the years, and there's always a question where I ask you, did you ever imagine? And I remember a game when the Predators hosted the Anaheim Ducks in January of 2007. It featured the two best teams in the NHL. There were maybe 12,000 people in attendance at Bridgestone Arena, or known as Gaylord Entertainment Center back then. And my dad and I were there, and I remember thinking, why aren't more people at this game? And it was a great game. The Preds won in overtime. It was a huge win that season. If memory serves correct, Steve Sullivan scored a big goal in overtime. And it was a fun game, but only 12,000 people were there. And I know I never imagined a sellout streak like the one you guys are currently on in this city when thinking back to that exact point. And, you know, I know you weren't in the organization at that time of that game that I'm talking about, but 11-plus years later, you guys are four home games away from reaching the 100th consecutive sellout in franchise history. I'll say it again. The 100th consecutive sellout in franchise history. What's this feeling like for you, Sean, as you and your organization close in on that milestone?
Oh, it's incredible. And, you know, I know a lot of people think I lie about what I'm about to say, but I knew we would do it. I mean, it really is just that simple. It's a special community. It's a special town. It's a great sports city. Before I came here, I always knew how incredible the fans were. I just knew we had to do a better job of growing the numbers of those fans. But the passion of our fans were just unquestioned, and the experience that was created inside of Bridgestone Arena or whatever the building was called in years past, you went there and you had a good time, and it was fun. Whether there were 10,000 people in the building or obviously 17,000 plus that we've been fortunate enough to have for the past few years, it was so much fun that I just knew if we could expose that game experience to a few more people over the course of a few seasons, that they were going to be hooked, whether they saw their first hockey game ever or if it was their 1,000th game ever. And, you know, they came from one of the great traditional original six cities, and at first maybe looking their noses down on the non-traditional market we are and celebrate, I just knew that once we got a few more people in that building, it would be like wildfire. I will say the one thing I am surprised at is the fact that our waiting list is so robust. I didn't think we'd be there. I really thought we'd get to sellouts every single game, and you know, we'd work to get to a sellout every week for each one of those games, and I'm sure our incredible fan base has made that a little bit easier, you know, on us, and it allows us to be a little bit more strategic as we build down the line. But we always said once we fill the building up, then better things happen for this franchise. Ratings build for TV, which are, you know, number one growth in the league the past 4 or 5 years in TV ratings and streamings. And then we knew once we were there, we could invest everything back into the team and give David Poile the ability to look 5, 6, 8, 10 years down the road and create something really special. And you look at, I think the mark of excellence for our league is what the Red Wings built for 25 years, made the playoffs 25 straight years, sold their building out for close to those 25 years. And you look at that, it can be done, and you want to set those aggressive goals and chase, you know, whoever the leader was, and we're on that path. You know, who knows where it'll take us. But it is fun to be able to talk about the numbers that matter. And when I got here, the first interview I did was with Willie Donick and George Plaster, the station they used to be on, and George kept talking about 14,000. And I looked at Jeff Cogan, he looked at me, and we had no idea what he was talking about. We didn't realize there was a clause in the lease that something happens if we didn't do 14,000 people in the building. And finally he explained it to us in also a frustrating manner, only like George can do. And we laughed. We said, well, we don't want people thinking about 14,000 people in the building. Well, the only numbers that matter to us are the numbers on the jerseys. That's what fans should think about when they come to the building. He said, well, you're never going to get there, man. People are always going to be focusing on, you know, whether or not you have 14,000 people in the building. We said, George, you did something pretty special in the summer of 07, 08 to help organize the rally, build around it, and save the team. It's our job to build upon that legacy. And one of the finest compliments I've gotten since I've been here was George at the beginning of this year saying, I really didn't know what I was starting when we did the rally. And look at where we are right now. And he was almost grateful to us when in reality, we, everyone with the Preds, is very grateful to the city, to the community, the fans, the leadership at, on the business front, and then, of course, in the mayor's and governor's office that really saved it. So long answer to what should have been a fast answer. I knew we'd get there. I just didn't realize how much fun it would be and how much bigger I think it can be now looking forward.
And you mentioned the number 14,000 back then, and that was the 07-08 season where the summer of 07 when the number 14,000 average attendance was the needed average of attendance, and now you guys are capping season tickets above that number.
Isn't that incredible? I didn't even think about it until you just said that.
Yeah, and how much of that, though, you know, I've had people ask me throughout the season of why are they capping the season tickets? I mean, there are a lot of people on the wait list. Well, how much of capping the season tickets is the fact that you don't want to eliminate an avenue to create even more fans through single game tickets?
Well, yeah, you just summed up the whole business plan. And, you know, at our league meetings over the past few years, you know, a few people would challenge our philosophy of why you're doing that. You should just sell every ticket you have out on, you know, full season tickets, be done with it. You know, you don't have to manage things that hard. And we said, no, we have a responsibility to continue to grow where we are. So by capping it at that 14,500, gives us about 3,000 tickets to make sure we have tickets available for single game purchases and for group purchases. Because as proud as we are of this, you know, large fan base we have now, we need to double and triple it and quadruple it and just keep, you know, promoting and creating great memories with our games. And the best way to do that is to make sure that, you know, you can take your daughter, your son, your buddy, your dad, your mom to a game, even if you're not a full season ticket holder. And that's really important for us. And that's why we're capping it. And I think it's a smart thing to do. There are a couple teams that just are coming off an incredible stretch of successful seasons, you know, 10 straight years in the playoffs, couple of Stanley Cups, 25 straight years in the playoffs, couple of Stanley Cups, that went down the path of really just leveraging everything into season tickets. And now all of a sudden you have a full generation that never experienced certain games in certain markets in the building, and they've never thought about buying tickets. And now they have to start selling tickets again. Again, you're missing a full generation that never thought about seeing a game anywhere but on TV or at a party. We don't really want to ever be that type of a team. And, you know, the next 20 years should be more exciting than the past 20 years have been.
Sean Henry on with us, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The 100th consecutive sellout will be Saturday, March 31st against Buffalo, fitting that it's on a Saturday, which, you know, Saturday night in Smashville is one of the, you know, the can't-miss things in this city is going to a Preds game on a Saturday night, and it's fitting that the 100th consecutive sellout will be on a Saturday. And
the
Sean,
best quote we've ever gotten was from Coach Hitchcock when he was in St. Louis.
Yep.
Remember, we used to run on the board all the time, with his permission, by the way. He's really just a classy gentleman. He really, really is. But he said, it's no fun coming to Nashville on a Saturday night when you're wearing the opposing jersey. It's like coming to the Roman Coliseum. You're not getting out of there alive. The fans are crazy. So it's so true. It's fitting that we're going to hit that mark on a Saturday night in Smashville because it's special.
Have you ever seen a city or fan base wrap its arms around a team and a franchise like the city of Nashville has with this team?
No, and you may remember this. About 6-7 years ago, I said, you know, our city, our fans have a love affair with this team like I've never seen before, except I read about how Green Bay felt about the Packers in the 60s. You know, a smaller city and, you know, in a league with much bigger cities, and had a personal relationship with those teams and with the players. And that's why I feel that we have it. And it's, part of it is because of the special place Nashville is. The other part is how special our players are and how ingrained they are in our community, from their own community efforts and their charitable minds to jumping right in with their names, their passion, their time, their treasure. They really connect with people. So it is. It's a love affair. And I was out in Vegas a couple of times for their games, and I think they're experiencing it a little bit as well. You know, their fans, it's their guys. It's personal to them. And I equated to what we had before we were here, before the Titans were here, and before they were in Vegas. It was a college and a high school sports crazy town where you loved those kids and then you followed them throughout their careers, right? And J.R. Lind actually talked about that quite a bit to me once, and it made a lot of sense to me. And I think that's the other reason that our fans are so welcoming to our players. And the closer they get to them with that mentality, then they realize what incredible people they are. And it really is. It's like a Harlequin romance, isn't it? I dated myself with Harlequin.
Well, I have no idea what you just referenced, but I'm sure it was spot on.
Call your mom. She'll say, oh, I love Harlequin.
I'll do that. I'll call my mom and dad after the show.
How about that?
There you go. President and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, on the line with us tonight on Preds Insider. Sean is the number one Preds Insider here on Preds Insider's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up next, what is it like to have another professional sports team join this city here in the next few years? We'll get into that and a whole lot more. And if you have any questions for Sean, tweet me at Porth Game or the station at 102.5 The Game, and we will read your question at the very end of the show. We're taking you up until 7 o'clock for Smashville Live, Tin Roof on Broadway. Braden Gall and Hal Gill will be joined by Victor Arvidsson and Matthias Ekholm. Should be a lot of fun and a great atmosphere down there at Tin Roof on Broadway, 7 o'clock. Don't miss it. If you're still looking for last-minute plans this evening in downtown Nashville, head on over to Tin Roof on Broadway. You will not be disappointed. But coming up next, we'll wrap it up here on Preds Insiders. I'm Ryan Porth. He is Sean Henry on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What's up, Sean? It's Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sean Henry right there bringing us back. Quite fitting that Sean Henry is my guest this evening here on Preds Insiders. Ryan Porth in the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios. Joined by phone by Sean Henry. Sean, do you remember cutting that that promo?
I did, and you know, I pride myself on being a one-take guy. But if you remember, Fitzy kept asking me to say words. I didn't know what he was talking about. So I must have done 77 takes to do that awful soundbite. So I apologize, Fitzy. Somehow it didn't hurt his career. He's off doing great things in Connecticut, right?
Yep. He is having the time of his life up there, and we are really happy for him that he got that opportunity with ESPN Radio. But, Sean, this weekend, Saturday at 5 p.m. At Nissan Stadium, Nashville SC will have their home opener in the United Soccer League. And back in December, right before Christmas, it was announced that Nashville SC will be an MLS franchise in the future. And that will now create a third professional sports franchise, major league franchise in this town. How are you guys with the Nashville Predators kind of creating a bond with Nashville SC along with you guys and the Titans?
Well, they're great. I mean, they really are. You know, since the team itself started playing at different levels over the past 3 years, we've engaged with them. As you know, we embrace every team in the market, from college to pros. We let the Sound set up sales tables on our concourse. Did the same with soccer. All the colleges. I just think the more teams you have, and the better each team is, the better we are, and we all kind of celebrate each other and. We're all fans of all sports, so just so exciting. And you add to the fact that they just have a lot of really good guys running the team and owning the team, that they're fun to be around. So it's we had our own soccer days in the building, and I look forward to more of those coming up. Our season ticket holders will be watching their email. I think we're sending out a special offer tomorrow for the game Saturday. We really want all of our fans to be soccer fans, all soccer fans to be our fans, and it's we promote Team Smashville all the time, and it's nice to have someone else in town that's going to jump on board that with us and create something really fun. And I love running into someone, and one of the first things they say to me is, "I was at the first game for the Preds. I was at the first game." It's amazing. There are like 300,000 people that are at that first game. We all have the opportunity on Saturday to be at their first game.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not miss the opportunity. Let's do something special. They're going for a record, the largest crowd in USL's history. I think, forget about the largest crowd, let's double the largest crowd.
Yeah.
We're playing at Nissan Stadium. We have an opportunity to blow that up and, get it to 20, 25, 30,000 people. And it'll be really fun to 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when they're winning championships, to say, "I was there at the first game," and really mean it this time.
Well, it's going to be really cool when – you guys, the Nashville Predators and the Tennessee Titans and Nashville SC are all excelling as franchises and winning on the field, on the ice, on the pitch, all at once. That's going to be a really, really cool time in this city.
It is. It's special. I was in Tampa when, the Buccaneers were the worst team in sports. We were the worst team in sports. The Rays were the worst team in sports, and we kind of unseated each other. But the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, and a year later we won the Stanley Cup. And it just changed what Tampa was. And it was so much fun to celebrate together and to bring our players together, organizations together, to build off each other's success. And you could see the same thing happening here.
Well, thanks to the Nashville Predators, Nashville Predators Foundation, and Make-A-Wish Middle Tennessee. Sean, 8-year-old Devin, who is battling cancer, had the day of his life both today and will again tomorrow, as he was signed to a lifetime contract today by Director of Hockey Ops, Brian Poyle.
When we got the request from Make-A-Wish for this one, it was, want to play for the Preds, want to practice with the team. But the most fun part about his request was he wants to drive a semi, an 18-wheeler, to a game. And we thought, well, we can do a lot of that. I don't know how you get an 18-wheeler to bring into the game. But it was so much fun today. To watch him sign the contract, to see his family, himself, his sister, just smile and not worry about needles and prognoses or, hearing words that no one should have to hear when you're talking about your family members, let alone your own children. And they just had a great day, and he was in our team picture today. We all lined up. He's in the middle of it.
Awesome.
And he gets a chance to score on Pecorine. Many people can't say that this year, but he can. And the coolest part about it, when I was talking to his dad, and we're talking about the fact that tomorrow he's going to drive an 18-wheeler down Broadway to our game. And that's what 8-year-olds should be thinking about, hockey and big rigs. And it's fun to be able to see him focus on that and not worry about what's coming around the corner at the hospital. Unfortunately, you know, he is at Monroe Carroll Junior Hospital, and they do such incredible work over there. And our partnership with them allows us to, you know, bring a family out and make them smile, you know, for a couple of days. And that's needed, right? You know, when you're going through something that no child should go through.
And it seems like every day, every week, every month, there's something that you guys as a franchise are doing, either with the front office or with the player personnel, where you guys are cheering up somebody's day, whether it's an 8-year-old with cancer like Devin or somebody who's celebrating a 90th birthday and surprising them at their home. It really is cool to see what you guys are doing with the community. And in my opinion, that is one of the big reasons why this fan base wraps its arms around you guys.
Yeah, and we don't think we're doing anything special, and we're not doing anything special. It's that simple. Unfortunately, in sports, there are a lot of great things that happen, but there's still some people that just don't get it, that when you're given a privileged platform like we have, and we really do, and we have a chance to make someone smile, we should do it. You have a chance to leverage the passion our fans have for a cause and raise money or bring attention to something, you should just do it. And we're just so thankful that we do get a chance to do it. You know, we started this segment, I talked about Pecorino, at 2:30 in the morning, the night he won his 300th game, sending an email out to another family, thanking them for inspiring him and coming on out and using one of our games to make them forget about the troubles they were going through at the hospital. That's the mentality our players have, and it's pretty humbling to know that you can help change the community, you know, through playing a game and going to concerts. But that's what our fans do for us. So it's a special place we find ourselves in, and I can't imagine doing anything different, because it's fun to win games. It's fun to sell out concerts and bring in new partners and sponsors. It's a lot more fun watching an 8-year-old smile and forget about all the needles he had 2 days ago.
No doubt about it. This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, on with us. We're about 5 or 6 minutes away from Smashville Live at Tin Roof on Broadway, where Victor Arvidsson and Matthias Ekholm are the special Preds player guests with Braden Gall and Hal Gill. All right,
well,
Sean.
Well, Braden and Hal should be throwing us some royalty checks, because you know we're just building their ratings for them with this dynamic.
Oh, there is no question about it.
I feel like Peter Brady when I look at the Twitter questions, though, right now, right? Again, you don't get that reference, but your parents will.
Yeah, I will once again ask. I will add that to the list of questions when I call them after this show.
You can ask Jan or Bud; they'll explain it to you. But yeah, Twitter's not exactly lit up with questions for us.
Well, I got a question for you.
See, I got a bunch on my own too that I'll introduce in a moment.
Okay, so Thad on Twitter poses an interesting question, and before I ask this question, tomorrow night at the game, two members of the U.S. women's Olympic hockey team that just won the gold over Canada are going to be honored in Smashville. Going to be really cool. Monique and Jocelyn Lamoureux, the twin sisters, will be honored in Smashville. And that made me think of this question that Thad poses to us. Is there any interest in starting a National Women's Hockey League team here in Nashville?
Well, there's, you know, obviously there's the women's league that's in the Northeast right now that, for the most part, is a bus league, but we can't grow that fast enough. And then that's something that's very important. Right in Nashville or Smashville, what we need to do is continue to build rinks. You know, we started the rink in Bellevue, should be open next summer, but we need more ice so we can get more young ladies playing. And most importantly, we need to continue to give those ladies an avenue to continue to their play as they get to a more elite travel level, into high school, into college. And, you know, right now we have a great young ladies travel team out of Nashville that's doing really well in all their tournaments. What we need is a bigger feeder system for them. So when we do have a professional women's league or team in Nashville, it's going to be fielded by some young ladies from Nashville as well. You know, both my daughters play, and I kind of worry about, you know, what's next, you know, when they're a little bit older, where are they going to play? And some great things are happening, you know, with that smaller circuit in Northeast where you can commute so easily from city to city. That'll be nice to be able to expand that here as well.
Sean Henry, president and CEO of the Nashville Predators. Sean, we have run out of time this hour, and it has been a whole lot of fun, and I cannot thank you enough for joining me here on Preds Insiders this evening. I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And if you want to do it again, we could just bump PBR radio at 8 o'clock and jump on his time, right?
Yeah, I'll let Justin know. He can just turn around. I'm sure he's driving in right now.
Perfect. All right, thank you so much, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
All right, Sean, thanks as always. That's Sean Henry, president and CEO of the Nashville Predators. Always enjoy having him on. Speaking of the Lamoureux sisters, the two sisters that were on the U.S. Olympic women's hockey team, they're honored tomorrow night in Smashville. You can hear them on the pregame show tomorrow night with Darren McFarland at 6:15, so don't miss that. Also, do not miss Preds Insiders on Friday. Tonight was special with Sean Henry. Friday will be special as well, as I will be joined by the all-time winningest general manager in NHL history, David Poile, followed by his son, Brian Poile. That's going to be a ton of fun Friday night at 6 o'clock. Don't miss it here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But coming up next, it is Smashville Live with Hal Gill and Braden Gall down at Tin Roof on Broadway, as they are joined by Victor Arvidsson and Matthias Ekholm right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game.